Amen. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. I'll ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's truth. Father in heaven, we thank thee today for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And oh God, we thank thee and we praise thee for this tremendous chapter that we've been studying in the book of Acts. We thank thee, Lord, for the way that you saved Saul of Tarsus. You had mercy upon him and plucked him as a brand from the burning. And Lord, in saving him, you had mercy upon the church. Oh God, we thank thee and we praise thee for the way you work. And we pray in these days, Lord, that you would work again. We pray, Lord, that you would save young men and women. And oh God, that you would thrust them into your harvest fields. We thank thee, Lord, that after Saul was saved, oh God, how he became a mighty instrument in the hand of God. And oh God, we recognize, Lord, even in this 21st century, how we need thee, Lord, to work again in such a manner. We pray, Lord, that you'll touch all of our lives. And oh God, that you'll help us, Lord. Help us to realize that we have only one life. And Lord, it will soon be past. And only what's done for Jesus will last. Oh God, we pray that you'll revive us again, that you would touch our lives afresh. And oh God, that you would help us, Lord, to realize that we are servants of the King. Oh God, we just thank thee and we praise thee, Lord, for all thy mercies to us. Lord, bless us now as we turn to the sacred page. Fill us with the Holy Spirit and help us, Lord, just to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. And Lord, as thy word goes forth, touch all of our hearts. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Please turn again to Acts chapter 9, that portion of scripture that we read. For a few moments at the end of this service, I want to preach on the subject, the call of God in the life of Ananias. Last Sunday night when we studied Ananias, we considered the type of Christian that God can use in his service. And we observed four things. First of all, the Christian that God uses may be a very ordinary person in the eyes of the world and in the eyes of the church. Secondly, the Christian that God uses must be living a devout, consistent, godly life. Thirdly, the Christian that God uses must be willing to do whatever God wants. And fourthly, the Christian that God uses must be filled with the Holy Ghost. Today I want to draw your attention again to this character called Ananias, and I want us to consider specifically, as I have said there, the call of God in the life of Ananias. Because there's no doubt that before the Lord used this man in his service, that he was called by God. As we preach this message today, there will be a little overlapping with last Sunday night's message. But that will do none of us any harm. Repetition is good, especially when it comes from God's word. And the repetition today will reinforce the importance of knowing the call of God and the will of God in our lives as Christians. Now the message in the main is for God's people, those who are saved and love the Lord. And I pray that as we consider this message today, that the Lord will speak to us through his precious, precious word. I want you to notice four things about the call of God in the life of Ananias. First of all, I want you to take a look at verse 11. I want you to see that it was a definite call. We read in verse 11, "And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go." Underline those words. There's no doubt that when you study these verses that there was a definite call of God to Ananias. This call that Ananias received to serve was not initiated by self. It was not initiated by the church. It was initiated by the Lord. In other words, Ananias did not take it upon himself to serve the Lord in this way. Rather, the Lord called him personally to this field of service. Now, it's very important that you see that. Very important. I want you to notice three things about Ananias' definite call. I want you to notice that God told Ananias where he wanted him to go. Look at verse 11, what it says. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas. And you'll notice also in verse 11 that God told Ananias whom he wanted him to speak to. For it says in verse 11, underline these words, for one called Saul of Tarsus. And then you'll notice in verse 12 that God told Ananias what he wanted him to say. Look at verse 12. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So you can see here that the Lord is directing Ananias very clearly and very definitely. You know, child of God, this truth of a definite call into God's service is clearly taught in the Word of God. Whether you're studying the Old Testament, whether you're studying the New Testament, you see this truth simply but clearly taught in the Scriptures. For example, when we consider the call of Moses, let me just read you Exodus 3 and verse 10. In that text, we read about the Lord speaking personally and definitely to Moses. We read, come now therefore, the Lord says to Moses, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. You see, Moses didn't take it upon himself to go back to Egypt and lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. He received a definite call from God. And it was the same with Ananias. Before Ananias sought out Saul of Tarsus in Damascus, it was the Lord that was speaking to Ananias and directing him what he wanted him to do. The same can be seen in the life of Gideon in Judges chapter 6 and verse 14. Let me read you these words. Here's the Lord and calling Gideon. He says, and the Lord looked upon him, that was Gideon, and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? The same can be said in the life of Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 1. Listen to these words. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So all these men of God, they were directed by God. They all received a definite call for full-time service to do this work for Christ. The same can be said of the Apostle Paul. I want you to turn over just for a moment to Acts chapter 26. Here we have Paul giving his testimony. And as he relates his testimony, not only does he tell how he was saved, but he also tells how the Lord spoke to him and directed him to be a preacher of the gospel and a minister of Christ. Look what it says in Acts chapter 26, verses 15 and 16. Again, notice the definite call. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise, look at verse 16, and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. So you can see there that also in the life of the Apostle Paul, that he had this definite call. This definite call. You know, child of God, you and I should never be a missionary unless the Lord calls us to be a missionary. We should never be a minister, a preacher, unless the Lord calls us to be a minister and a preacher. We should never be a child's evangelist. We should never go into full-time service unless The Lord calls us into full-time service. Now, it doesn't mean we can't serve the Lord. Of course we can serve the Lord. The Lord has saved us and brought us into the local church in order to serve Him in the local church. But I'm speaking here about going into full-time service, about doing a specific work, a specific task for the Lord. And you will notice that in the life of Ananias, the Lord came and the Lord spoke to him and the Lord directed him and the Lord showed him clearly. There was no doubt in Ananias' mind what the Lord wanted him to do. No doubt whatsoever. And it was the same in the life of Moses, in the life of Gideon, in the life of Elijah, in the life of Paul. And we could continue studying these great men and women in the Bible. And we could continually see this truth established time and time again. That when God wanted them to do a specific task for Him, He spoke to them. He called them and He directed them. It was a definite call. And it's important that you see that even here in the life of Ananias. But take a look at verse 10. I want you to notice, secondly, that Ananias had a desire to serve the Lord. Now, if you're taking notes, write that down and underline it in red. Ananias had a desire to serve the Lord. Look what it says in verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, now underline these words, behold, I am here, Lord. Behold, I am here, Lord. When the Lord called Ananias, it is plain to see that Ananias had a desire to serve God. I believe that Ananias had already made himself available to serve God. This can be seen by his reaction when the Lord spoke to him. Oh, he said, behold, I am here, Lord. In the reaction of Ananias, we can see his readiness for service. He was ready to serve the Lord. He was willing to serve the Lord. Yeah, I believe we could even say he was waiting to serve the Lord. Ananias had a desire in his heart to serve God. He had a willingness to do what God wanted him to do. I believe that there are three things that constitutes the call of God in a Christian's life. There must be a desire to serve God. There must be an opportunity to serve God, and there must be direction from God's word. Ananias had all three. God had spoken to him. God had clearly directed him. He had a desire in his heart, and he had the opportunity, because God was giving him the opportunity to serve Him. You know, child of God, if you're feeling the call of God into some specific field of service, maybe there's a young person here today and you've been praying for the will of God. I hope you have. Ask yourself these three questions. Indeed, child of God, there are three questions that we all should ask ourselves. Do I have a desire for this work? Has the opportunity arisen for me to do this work? Has God confirmed to me through His word that He wants me to do this work? And if you cannot answer these three questions positively, then wait until you can. Wait until you can. You know, there are many who have thought that God was directing them in a certain way and the Lord wasn't directing them in that certain way at all. And they end up making shipwreck. They end up making a mess of their lives. And they haven't got the direction and the call of God in their lives at all. That's why it is so important to know exactly where the Lord wants you to go and what the Lord wants you to do. Even in regards of coming to a church or joining a church. We need the Lord's direction in our lives. But we're thinking specifically here about the call of God into full-time service. Oh, I pray today that each and every one of us will make our lives available to the Lord. Child of God, that's the very least we should do. The very least you and I should do as a Christian is to lay our lives upon the altar and say, well, Lord, I'm willing to serve you. I want to serve you. Now, if you want me to serve you, then you direct me. Direct me through your word and give me that opportunity to serve you. And if the Lord, in his sovereign plan, wants you in his service full time, then he will direct you. He will direct you. Of that, there's no doubt. Here we have an instant in the Bible. God speaking to Ananias, wanting him to do a specific task. A specific task. And the Lord comes to a man whose heart is open. The Lord comes to a man who has a desire to serve God. You see, as we said last Sunday evening, Ananias was a man who was walking with God. He was living a devout, consistent, godly life. Therefore, he was a man that God could use. Oh, I pray that in all of our lives, that we'll be in that place with the Lord, that the Lord will be able to take up our lives and use them in his service. But you can see here how the Lord is speaking to Ananias. And you can see here how the Lord is directing him. But he's coming to an individual who, I believe, had already laid his life upon the altar for the Lord. He had already said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. Well, then the Lord takes him at his word. Well, Ananias, I have a job for you. I want you to go and I want you to seek out Saul of Tarsus. And there's things I want you to say to him. That's what I want you to do. Now, that brings up something else here in this story. I want you to take a look at verse 13 because I want you to see, thirdly, the difficulties Ananias had to overcome before he fully obeyed the call of God. Now, this is interesting. Look at verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, speaking of Saul of Tarsus, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Now, it is obvious here that although Ananias had a desire to serve God, the fear of man was an obstacle that he had to overcome. And the truth of the matter is this, that even those whom God calls have human fears to overcome. Ananias here was walking by sight, not by faith. He was looking at what Saul used to be instead of what God had now made him. He was allowing what he had heard about Saul in the past to become a difficulty instead of resting upon God's word completely. I want you to see that. That's very important. You know, child of God, the truth is this. Although we may have a definite call from God and an overwhelming desire to carry out God's will, many times there can be difficulties to overcome. Many times. And the men that I have mentioned, let me just draw your attention to two of them again, Moses and Gideon. When the Lord called them, they had difficulties to overcome. For example, Moses, Exodus 3 and verse 11, after the Lord told Moses what he wanted him to do, he said, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt and I want you to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. And then verse 11, Moses says this, and Moses said unto God, who am I? That I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. Fear gripped his heart. And that's a natural thing. That's a natural thing. Gideon was the same. Judges 6 verse 15, after the Lord called Gideon and directed him, we read these words, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And maybe there's someone here today, maybe a young person, maybe an older person, and the Lord has been speaking to you. You have laid your life upon the altar and you have a desire to serve the Lord. And maybe as you've been praying, the Lord has spoken to you through his word. And the Lord has directed you, I want you to do this. I want you to go here. I want you to be a missionary. I want you to be an evangelist. I want you to be a children's worker. I want you to be a minister of the gospel. And then, as soon as the Lord spoke to you, fear gripped your heart. And maybe you're saying to yourself, well, I wouldn't be able for that. I haven't got the qualifications for that. Lord, I'm too old to do that. Oh, it's a natural fear that you must overcome. How did Ananias overcome his difficulties? He overcame these difficulties by trusting in God's word and in God's direction. And my friend, the truth is this, and it's a simple one. If God calls you, God will equip you. If God directs you, God will be with you. And we should never fear the unknown if the Lord has spoken to our hearts. Look at verse 15, down to verse 16. But the Lord said unto him, this is after Ananias was apprehensive because of what he had heard about Saul of Tarsus. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. So the Lord spoke to him the second time. Isn't that a great mercy of the Lord? Isn't that wonderful? The Lord didn't say, well, if you're a chicken, then I'll go and get somebody else. If you think you're not good enough, then I'll speak to somebody else. The Lord's merciful. The Lord's merciful. And the Lord comes and he says, go thy way. And then he says this, for he, speaking of Saul of Tarsus, he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now underline verse 17. And Ananias went his way. It was the word of God coming afresh to Ananias' heart that took away his fear. It was the direction of the Lord through which Ananias overcame his difficulties. The Lord pointed out to Ananias that Saul of Tarsus was not a persecutor anymore, but that Saul was one whom God's divine purpose was being fulfilled. Therefore, through the word of God, Ananias received assurance which led him into full obedience to do the will of God. It says in verse 17, and Ananias went his way. Let's read the rest of it. And entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me. Ananias overcame his fears and his difficulties when he obeyed the call of God. My, is there not a challenge there? Child of God, the Lord's directing you, the Lord's calling you. Young person, maybe the Lord wants you to be a missionary. Maybe the Lord wants you to go into full-time service and you're afraid. You're nervous. You're apprehensive. You think, how can I do this? Obey the Lord. And the Lord will not only give you a peace about it and take away your fears, but he'll give you the ability to do it. That's what I believe. But you know, the truth is this, that we all of us, have to overcome these difficulties when the Lord speaks to us and the Lord directs us. But we can see it here in the life of Ananias. Oh, I pray it today that each and every one of us who are saved and born again of the Spirit of God will be willing to say to the Lord today, here's my life, take it and use it. My friend, the truth is this, we have only one life. It will soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus Christ will last. But notice something else here. I want you to notice, fourthly, the blessing Ananias received when he obeyed the call of God. And this blessing was, I believe, a threefold blessing. First of all, there was the blessing of doing God's will, knowing that he was in the will of God. And then, thirdly, there was the blessing of proving God's word. My, he saw the change in Saul of Tarsus' life. And there was the blessing of hearing the well done of God at the end of life's journey. It's hard to imagine what must have gone through the mind of Ananias when he walked into that house and he saw this persecutor of God's people on his knees praying. What do you think the first thing would have come into his mind? It's hard for us to know that, of course. Could he have thought, as he saw Saul on his knees praying, well, why did I fear to do the will of God in the first place? Why was I apprehensive when he saw this man on his knees crying unto God, praying unto God? This one who had come to Damascus to persecute the church and to bring the Christians back to Jerusalem to imprison them. How the Lord had transformed him. Maybe he thought, well, I'll not doubt the word of God again. I'll not question God again. You know, child of God, when you obey the word of God and you go at the command of God, there's great blessing, knowing that you're doing the will of God and the peace of God in your heart and seeing how the Lord works it all out. The Lord will work it all out. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Praise God. If the Lord calls you, he will supply your every need according to his riches and glory. The greatest priority in the Christian life is finding out God's will for our lives. Now, I have emphasized this in these studies in these past weeks, but I want to emphasize it again, child of God. The greatest priority in the Christian life is finding out God's will for our lives. Are you in the will of God? Are you doing the will of God? The greatest blessing in the Christian life is doing God's will. There's no greater satisfaction in life than knowing that you are in the will of God and that you are doing the will of God. And child of God, if the Lord is directing you one way and you're going another way, you'll never be happy. You'll never be happy. You'll never be happy in God's second best. Now, you might learn to live with it, but you'll never be happy. And that's why it is imperative, child of God, that we know God's will and that we do God's will. Now, I said, perhaps it was even last week, I said, if God has called you to be a doctor, be a doctor. If God has called you to be a farmer, be a farmer. If God wants you to work in an office, work in an office. But if God calls you to be a missionary or a preacher or an evangelist, don't you stoop to be a king. Don't you stoop to be a king. Knowing the will of God and doing the will of God is the greatest blessing in the Christian life. Turn to Psalm 40 for a moment. Underline verse 8. You'll read these words. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Who spoke those words? You say the psalmist. Well, this psalm is a messianic psalm. Therefore, it is speaking of Christ. Therefore, when Christ came to earth, he came to do the will of the Father, and it was a delight for Christ to do the will of the Father. Look at verse 7 and 7 of the psalm, and then we read verse 8 again. Verse 7 says, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. Speaking of Christ. It's the Savior that's speaking here. In the volume of the book, the word of God, it is written of me. And then he says this, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, we read these words. What did Christ come to do? Why did the Lord Jesus leave heaven's glory and come down into this sin-cursed world. What was his delight as he obeyed the Father and came down to this earth? His delight was to go to the cross and there upon that cross shed his precious blood for our sins. And that was a delight for him, because that was the will of the Father. Hebrews 12 verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, underline these words, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, the throne of God. The joy that was set before him. My friend, how could you have joy going to a cross? How could you have joy dying upon the middle tree on Golgotha's brow, suffering the pain of Calvary? How could that be joy? Oh, but it was. The joy that was set before him was because he knew that he was doing the will of the Father, and because he knew that he was dying for the sins of his people, and that he was dying there to redeem a people unto himself. We were his joy, child of God. You were his joy. I was his joy. The cross, when he thought of the cross, that was his joy, because he knew that the world of sinners were going to be redeemed. He had to lay down his life a ransom for the many. Now surely if the Lord Jesus Christ knew it was a delight to do the Father's will, how much more you and I, who have been recipients of his grace and his mercy. Oh, I pray, child of God, in these days that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts and souls, and that we will seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. Our lives are not over yet. Now, they could be over sooner than we think, because life is uncertain. But in the normal course of things, we have years to live upon this earth. Many of us have years to live upon this earth. What are we going to do with those years? What are you going to do with those years? And when you stand before God, what are you going to say? Or more importantly, what is he going to say? Is he going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Or is he going to say, well, come into heaven, but you're only getting in by the skin of your teeth? As by fire, saved as by fire. Isn't that what the book of Jude speaks about? Saved as by fire. In other words, you're saved, but you've just wasted your life. Oh, I pray that will not be the case in any of our lives, but that we'll be like Ananias, that our ears will be sensitive to the call of God, that our hearts will be touched to do the will of God, and that our lives will be blessed when we do the will of God. Let's all pray.